Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Draft day, Johnny Manziel. 5 years later, how am I the man still? Draft day, A. Wiggins. Fuck that other side, bitch, we stay winning. Oh man, you know I had to do it for you. You know I had to do it for you. Yeah. Suits and ties yelling out, pay the guys, man, I had to do it for you. You know I had to do it for you. You know I had to do it for you. Oh man, oh man, oh man, man, you know I had to. Sometimes I laugh with God about how you can't stop me. I'm his darkest angel probably, but it still got me. Yeah. I'm getting mine,
good
but still I better live.
This
shit I said
to well, anyway, might as well wrap this up. Well, not wrap it up, get it started rather, but this is Scott Burschmuchaw with the Clown Hour. I'm the creator of the sports blog, The Clown Times. You'll be able to follow me on the web. Just do a search. Just type in www.theclowntimes.net. That's clown spelled with a K, by the way. And you should also find me on Facebook where I'm talking shit and trading crazy ideas with my followers and whatnot. Just do a search for The Clown Times on Facebook. Again, that's clown spelled with a K. You'll be able to find me there. Okay. So, like I said, it's a World Cup afternoon, but the NBA always takes precedence over the World Cup, in my opinion, especially with the news about LeBron James making his move to Cleveland, and, of course, Kamal Anthony staying in New York City, and a couple and also a few more other noteworthy NBA free agent happenings. But at any rate, to help discuss it with me, all my crew, my man Dwayne Nash, y'all know him from the Yard / HBCU Sports, and my boys Cedric Hall and Chris Lupe. So, fellas, welcome to the Clown. What's going on with you?
Good afternoon.
Man, afternoon, Scott. And I guess if you're in the house of Ann Coulter, basketball takes precedence over soccer as well.
There you go. There you go. It takes precedence over the World Cup. So you know, I got the TV off in my front room right now. So, you know what I'm saying? So, this the NBA bridge, especially what went down over the weekend, fellas. Y'all know what happened. You know, the king himself, LeBron James, signed and leave. Saw Fisher go back to Cleveland. Kamala Anthony surprising almost no one is staying in New York City. As well as a few other items, minor items, such as what just came across earlier today on the wire that Paul Pierce, the Truth, taking his talents to Washington, here in Washington, to play
the Wizards
on the 2-year, $10 million deal. So let's just start with the big fish first, LeBron James, going to Cleveland. So I'm going to start off with Luque this time, just do it a little differently. And so basically, I think that LeBron, it shocked me as hell. It shocked the hell out of me that he went back to Cleveland, especially given what Dan Gilbert and the fans did to him on the way out. I mean, he's a bigger man than me, he being LeBron, to go back to work for a dude who wrote those things about me like a petulant 14-year-old chick who got dumped by the hot guy in high school. So at any rate, just give me your thoughts on LeBron going back to Cleveland.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. I was totally shocked looking at the tea leaves that I was reading said that either he was going to be back in Miami based upon some promises that he got from Pat Riley, or maybe he would have gone to a bigger market. We've seen most of the time that the bigger market teams are able to do more for the status of the superstars. And you know, the question came up, you know, how many, when's the last time the Milwaukee Bucks won a title? You know, another small market team that, you know, can't seem to make it. And we see it in baseball, too. So I figured he was going to stay in Miami. He was just pulling Pat Riley's chain. But to see the announcement that he was going to Cleveland, I was totally shocked. I figured he would end up in Cleveland, but in his twilight years when he was Paul Pierce's age. You know, I figured that he might end up back there, but not during his prime. So I was shocked. It took me a while to figure out, you know, really if it was serious. I mean, when he started making announcements, I hadn't seen it on officially over a reputable source. It was just hearsay from people until I saw it on CNN.com, on ESPN.com that it was true. But after looking at what Cleveland has built over the last few years, it made sense. I mean, I kind of threw away what his letter said because it made basketball sense with the fact that they had multiple number one draft picks that were there and a lot of salary that they could throw around. Then it made sense. It made basketball sense. So that was my initial reading, and I'm sure we'll talk about some of that stuff later, so I don't want to steal everyone's thunder.
Yeah. Right. Okay, Sid, you might as well get on this, but I know we exchanged some ideas during the week, so I know you got a lot of things to say about LeBron, but the Cleveland as well.
I'm with Chris, man. I was completely shocked on this one. I think so the last thing I saw, so let me see, what day was this? This was Thursday.
Right.
Yeah, I saw something Thursday that basically, you know, Riley had flown out to, you know, they were flying out to Vegas. LeBron was going to Vegas. You know, they met in Vegas. You know, D-Wade flew back from Vegas to Miami with, you know, with LeBron. And, you know, I just thought the whole Cleveland talk was, you know, I thought it was just like wishful thinking on the part of Cleveland. I had no idea this thing was this serious, you know. And then, you know, of course you're hearing the big hang-up is the fact that, you know, Cleveland, you know, obviously Cleveland took down the letter that, you know, Dan Gilbert wrote, what, four years ago, right? So
the last thing
I heard was, you know, this is a big deal for LeBron. You know, this whole letter, you know, still bothers him, you know. And I'm just like, I'm still thinking, you know, it's still not clicking in my mind that, you know, he's going back to Cleveland. It's just, okay, well, maybe they're just saying this, and this will be the reason why he didn't go back to Cleveland.
Right.
Did not believe it until, you know, I started seeing, you know, reports from SI. Basically, you know, I think they had published, portions of the letter, you know, that he had written. And I'm just like, I'm thinking to myself, man, I cannot believe, you know, they would have pulled this off, you know.
I don't know
what Chris was saying as far as basketball, you know. I mean, they got a lot of cap space. They've been making picks. You know, they can put together. They're making the right roster moves to, you know, really compliment him this time versus, you know, of course, the last time he was there. You know, the thing that I'm still kind of iffy on is, you know, the coach. But then again, you know, this guy they have is obviously he's a lot better coach than, you know, the last Cleveland coach. So
anybody
we'll
can be better than Mike Brown.
So.
Yeah. Anybody can be better than Mike Brown.
We'll see. But, you know, obviously
in international circles,
you know, this guy's well respected. So, you know, I think, to be honest with you, I'm not so sure that, you know, they'll win it this year. But I can see in the next 2-3 years them Cleveland winning the championship.
Coming together. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Dwayne. All right, Dwayne, it's your turn, brother.
Uh-oh. You know, I've been saying for the past 3 or 4 days that I wouldn't pound my chest like King Kong with this entire situation because I'm not going to say I called it a la Babe Ruth, but I kind of did call it. It was actually my expectation that if he wouldn't take the pay cut in Miami, that he would go to Cleveland, but what I didn't expect was for him to take the max deal. I like to call this type of situation the Tom Brady effect, where you sign your ultra super-duper superstar to the max deal, you draft extremely well and surround him with young talent and hope that that superstar is able to carry that young talent to the promised land. And that's just about what they generally have. They did sign Kyrie Irving to that big deal. What was that, 5 years and $90 million?
Yeah, the max. Yeah.
So, you know, you have him at the max deal. You have LeBron with 2 years and $42 million. And everybody else,
right,
if I remember correctly, is making well under $5 million on that roster as of today. So,
yeah.
And you're looking at him, you have Kyrie Irving, number one overall draft pick. You have Anthony Bennett, who hasn't played a lot of minutes and actually didn't play well at all last year in his rookie year, but he is a number one overall draft pick. You got Wiggins coming in there, number one overall draft pick. You have Tristan Thompson, who could come off your bench and play really well. And you have the veteran and Anderson Varejao that could potentially,
yes,
start at the center spot. And you have a very good team. And it does something that the Miami Heat could not do the way that they were constructed as this past season, which is have a ton of young guys with fresh legs with the potential to play,
yes,
a ton of minutes. I was looking for,
yes,
them to have a situation where they would probably have him play in a system with a bunch of rotational guys a la San Antonio, but the young,
mm-hmm,
legs, the younger guy system looks like it may work with them as well.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? I mean, and I'll be honest with you, because I blogged about it earlier, but a couple of days ago about it, when I found out, when my jaw dropped, when I heard that he was going back to Cleveland, it makes a lot more basketball sense to y'all's point, you know, because Cleveland,
mm-hmm,
is much younger. They're a hell of a lot deeper. And if you think about it, if Wiggins turns out to be the real deal that I think he will, the sky's the damn limit, especially in the Eastern Conference. I mean, you have Kyrie Irving, who's a stud, to go with LeBron James. They got to figure out what the hell to do with Deion Waiters. Because Deion Waiters and Kyrie Irving, they had issues. I mean, they both can ball. They're both studs. But they couldn't come together. This chemistry just was just off. I think LeBron would help that. I think both,
yeah,
young guys would look up to LeBron, especially Irving, because who's going to say no to a two-time champion and a four-time MVP? No one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one's going to say no to him. So, and also, you know, if you throw in the fact that there's talk that Kevin Love might be dealt to Cleveland for a couple of players. Yeah, I think one of those may be Deion Waiters and possibly a draft pick. And I'll tell you what, if they get their hands, they being the Cavaliers, they get their hands on Kevin Love, it's a wrap in the East. It's a wrap because you're talking about the best young power forward right now in the game in Kevin Love to go with the best player in the world with LeBron James and an up-and-comer in Kyrie Irving. It's a wrap.
Let me add an intangible here
okay.
that we haven't talked about, but you know we got to see that LeBron James is one of a kind in that he's young, age wise. And when was the last time you heard that he was in trouble? When was the last time you heard that you know he was out at a party and got drunk or you know ran into mm-hmm. to a cop? You know, because the cop told him to park someplace different. You never hear about any issues with him. All you hear about is the fact that he goes to work, and he puts his head down and he does his work. And no place that he's been has the locker room ever had any issue. Now, the reason I bring this up is because what we just saw with San Antonio, how they have such a strong culture that's supported
mm-hmm. yeah.
by Tim Duncan and the other leadership in the locker room. I would dare say that of course everyone learned what that looks like, you know, after looking at San Antonio win. I'm sure he's seen that too. And just like you never really heard of any issues with him in the Heat locker room. You never heard about it in Cleveland. You're not going to hear about it now with all these young guys who are going to look up to him, who are going to see his example. You're creating
mm-hmm.
a strong culture there. And with the fact that he can in his treatise say that he forgave Dan Gilbert for the very same things that it would be difficult for us to forgive anybody for doing publicly to us. We all, some of us on this call, call here have admitted it. Those of us that have not admitted it probably would agree that it would be difficult to forgive somebody who blasted us publicly like that if we had the opportunity.
On the way out.
He,
on the way out. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
He did. He said it that he forgave him. and that takes a big person. So basically you've got a big person with a, you know, big personality that's humble, that's a mature person coming into this locker room with all these young guys. So I think that's going to also help with their, you know, the continued culture change there in Cleveland. That's just an intangible that I've seen.
Right. Yeah, and that's the you thing, know, because like I said, go ahead, Seth. Sorry about that. Sorry.
You know, I don't think people, you know, we call it an intangible, and yes, it is, but I don't think people are giving him enough credit for it.
Not at all.
If you just look at that, let's throw out all the basketball sense that it makes, but just the aspect of, hey, man, this dude blasted me 4 years ago for leaving, and in all this, the thing that really rings true in my ears is, who am I to hold a grudge?
Yeah.
You know, people, you know, I guess I look at it at, you know, 4 years ago, the way that it went down, you know, I didn't like how it went down 4 years ago. You know, the whole,
right?
You know, live on TV. You know, I'm taking my
ESPN
bullshit.
I
just didn't like, you know, the way that it went down. It could have been just, hey, I'm signing with Miami and press release, and that's kind of it. Kind of like how this thing went down. But you know, people that probably looked at LeBron James as a villain 4 years ago, I mean, they're looking at him completely different now, because it's you forgiving someone that just literally just blasted you, you know, 4 years ago, and now you're saying, who am I to hold a grudge? That takes a tremendous amount of maturity to go that route, and I think, like Chris said, you know, he's bringing a level of maturity to the locker room that, of course, he didn't have 4 years ago. You know, I kind of almost look at it, you know, I think he kind of said something to this effect, too, was basically, you know, it's almost like, you know, he looks at going to play for the Heat as like going off to college, and now he's coming back home to go to work, you know?
Right. And he knows what it takes.
In all of this, you know, I think the majority of people want to see them succeed, having seen the way this thing is going down now. Whereas him going to Miami, people really didn't, you know, didn't want to see them succeed.
They were the enemy.
I think now it'll be completely different.
It won't be, in my opinion, as much hate as it was for him going to Miami.
But there'll still be
the doubters there. But I have to put it to you guys in perspective a little bit. Think about it like this. Okay, if you have this girl, she looks real bad. She seems real fine, right? But there's still some things that are still wrong with her, right?
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden she sees you on TV with a girl badder than her. And you don't tell her about this girl. She finds out about this girl by via TV. So what do you expect her to do? How do you expect her to react? She's going to flip out. She's going to act crazy. She's going to burn your stuff. She's going to, you know, curse your name right there. Let me come back. She's going to post on Facebook. Four years later, this girl you just left, all of a sudden look firmer. She looked better than the girl you left her for. What you gonna do? Of course you wanna try to go back. If the chance is there, I'm tired of this girl now. My old girl looking better now. I'm going back. But it's kind of weird because I really did just think about that. But you have to look away.
That's funny as hell.
Had the situation been like that for me, I probably wouldn't have gone back. But thinking about it that way, yeah, I would have gone back. And not only am I going back to a younger, better-looking situation, I'm going to a situation that's going to pay me more.
Yeah.
And then potentially
right.
pay me more than that in 2 years. So I'm going to be well off, I'm comfortable, I get the kickback, I look like a hero. You know what I'm saying? I actually end up potentially getting to the good graces of those that hated me for the sake of hating me 4 years ago. So I just come out of this entire situation looking like a superstar.
You think about it, too. LeBron James went, and he went to go win championships because he left Cleveland upset because at the time he said, it's not going to happen for me here. I'm not getting any younger. If I stay here, it may never happen for me. The things they're telling me don't really make any sense. I see this Corvette over here. They're ready to win now. They have, you know, they've got championship pedigree. They've got what it takes. We can do it. He went. He got his championships. He got to the finals four times in a row, which there was discussion on how many teams had done that in the past. You know, last time it happened in the 80s. So he did it. All right. So now he comes back, and he's got his two rings, and now he can max out his money, okay, and also have the possibility, because it's been mentioned, it's in the Eastern Conference, which is weak. I mean, I think I saw one line already that had the Cavaliers 3-1 and make it to the finals again, make it to the finals.
Wow.
Okay.
Yep.
This is right after he made his decision to go back. So for him, it's and just like what you know has already been mentioned, now he comes off looking like, you know, he's reversed everything that looked bad last 4 years ago. He's reversed it, and he's got his ring.
Mm-hmm.
He hadn't lost anything, and he's still young.
Mm-hmm.
He's lost nothing.
Yeah,
right. And you know what?
You
guys,
know who stands? I thought about this yesterday when you know, I seen all these Instagrams, you know, Cleveland fans wishing they could take those ashes and, you know, from the jerseys they burn. But, Gilbert stands to make a whole lot of money after telling the fans to burn their jerseys.
Those
like, you know, 4 years ago, he's saying burn your jerseys, and now, you know, they got to come see him now for a new jersey, right? So
right. Yeah,
and what happens if he changes his number? If even the ones who kept jerseys, if he changes his number at six or whatever, then
he's
going to
be six. I think it'll be six.
Right.
It's going to be six.
Yeah.
It's going to be number six.
Oh, he's going to keep six. So
Yeah, I was going to say Cleveland is like that chick. You know, to Dwayne's point. You know, once she sees her fine ex come back, she'd be like, oh, I was just playing with you. Yeah, I forgive you. You can come back there. So let's talk about his contract right quick, fellas. Because I know Dwayne mentioned the 2 years at what, 42 million dollars per?
Yeah.
42.1 million. So the skeptics are already out on this, right, because it includes the opt-out after the first year. So you got a lot of naysayers saying, oh, he's going to put Cleveland through this shit again after the season. If they fall short of expectations, then, you know, they're going to have the whole thing over again. He might try to go to New York. You know, Trace, name the rumor. You probably heard it already. So my question is, basically, guys, is do you think, like LeBron already said that he was committed to stay in Cleveland the past 2 years. So do you buy that, or do you buy these conspiracy theorists out here? Wayne.
I don't buy the conspiracy theorists at all. I mean, I guess you guys have already heard the NBA TV deal is up to be renewed in a couple of years around the time that the contract ends. So he's looking for an opportunity to get more money. What I'm actually shocked about is that provision to opt out after 1 year, where he only looks to get $100,000 more by opting out. I don't know why it would be that low, but you know it is what it is. $100,000 is $100,000, you know. But yeah, I don't see him leaving. I don't really see him taking a situation where he puts Cleveland through this situation again, and have this whole decision part three a year later. I don't think anyone would stand for that stress again.
No, I don't buy that either. I think, you know, maybe this deal is more just, you know, I mean, he's getting paid, but obviously, you know, Cleveland, I mean, they weren't going to – I don't think they had the ability to – I mean, they couldn't have given him a max deal anyway, right?
No,
right.
Not this year, no.
Yeah,
no,
so he couldn't have gotten a max deal from Cleveland. So, you know, I think he – truly wants to be there. I think he'll be there past 2 years. So, you know, I really see him you know, ending his career in Cleveland. That's just how I see this thing shaking out. So he's definitely going to get paid the next, you know, in 2 years when he decides to re-up. I don't even see him opting out after the first year. You know, I see him in 2 years, you know, breaking the bank, so to speak. So
right.
Yeah, I'm gonna. I think that, you know, with him having the 2 year deal, it allows him to max out the next time. You know, so you have to have a contract in order for you to get the max deal. So he has
right.
to have it. He has to have a contract to max, so he can let it expire and max out the next time. That's what I do believe. What you guys have said is true, but I'm gonna go on the flip side. The opt out and the short contract are his prenup. Okay, because he did say before that he liked to have flexibility. Okay, so
right.
So everything I've seen everything what you guys have already said, and I agree with that. But he's got the what if clause in there. Like, if it really doesn't work out, I can go someplace else. You know, so
yeah.
I don't think he signs a 2 year deal now. Even if he re-ups again, he's gonna sign a short term deal. Okay, it's not going to be, you know, 8 years or whatever. He's going to sign another 4 year one so he can have his flexibility. But but he's making sure that they keep their side of the bargain. That's what I believe.
Yeah.
So that's
he's
got the prenup in there.
Yeah.
But you know what? Right. I don't know if you guys are familiar. I heard a little bit about it last night. I can't really remember what this rule is, but I think that the amount of money that you're able to receive as a player reduces the older you get. And I don't know if you guys know anything about that.
No.
I'm hoping I'm not making this up, and I'm hoping I didn't hear it incorrectly. But if I heard it correctly, I think that there is a rule or a provision in the salary cap that a player of a particular age can't earn a certain amount of money. I think his number gets capped, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
And I think it gets capped at 35 or 36. So if that's the case, that second deal would probably be ending right before that cap hits. So that's another way for him to potentially get more money up until his retirement.
Hmm. Well, keep in mind that LeBron has taken more of an interest, I should say, in the CBA. I mean, he was very active in this last round of negotiations, so he knows. He has to know. He does know the inner workings of the CBA itself. So to me, this looks more like a business move, the 2 year contract, the business move, or a prenup, if you will, to pay, than just him wanting to jump ship or whatnot, because he's protecting himself. Because let's face it, he's the best player on the planet. He deserves to be one of the highest paid players in the league. I mean, I don't think we would be in disagreement over that. So I just think that this is a business move, and, you know, we'll see what goes on from there. Now, from a lesser standpoint, now we're coming off the high. Well, actually, I should end the LeBron thing by asking this question. Where does this put Cleveland? Does this put Cleveland as the best team in the East? Does it make them the top three, top four? What do you guys think?
Hmm.
I should say Dwayne.
Okay, well, if you're going to start with me, I'm going to easily go top three. I don't know if it automatically makes them the best team in the East. You had a lot of Eastern Conference teams improve over the past day. So to say that they're the best is still a little borderline. The Pacers say that they are interested. Well, the players would like to have Lance Stephenson back, but I don't know if ownership wants to have him back. So we'll see. Because there still seems to be some sort of conflict in what the numbers are going to look like for signing this guy back. But if they don't, they still brought in C.J. Miles, who's a good outside shooter, and some guy from Croatia, what's his name, Rudez. He's a 6'10 guy, extremely athletic. So you put those two guys on that team, it could be a situation where they continue to stay the one seed. And then you have a team that was the four seed in the the five seed in the Washington Wizards that re-signed Marcin Gortat. They bring in Paul Pierce to come off the bench. They also have re-signed Andre Miller. Chicago potentially gets a little bit better. They amnesty potentially Boozer, and they bring in Paul Gasol. So you have those teams getting better. And they also got Dougie Buckets. How can I forget about Dougie Buckets? You have him in a situation where you have an extremely defensive team in Chicago with a shooter like McDermott. And if D. Rose can stay healthy, if
that's
that
a big
team gets – exactly, that's a huge if, but that team gets better as well. And I'm cautiously optimistic in – and I know you probably don't want to hear me say this, Scott. I'm cautiously optimistic in the Knicks with them bringing in Carmelo Anthony, drafting.
I'll get to that in a minute.
I think that they're strong enough to potentially be a 7th or 8th seed. I'm not saying that they're going to be able to compete with Cleveland, but the East is going to get better. And like I've always said throughout the offseason, the East, in my opinion, isn't as bad as everybody makes it to be. So I don't know if I'm putting them number one yet, but top three easily. I see them easily winning their division. I don't think they win a division yet. It depends upon the whether or not Indiana can come back as a cohesive unit, and if Chicago stays healthy. But the NBA Central will be extremely competitive next year.
Yes, it will be. Yes, it will be. Hell yes to that. All right, Seth.
You know, I definitely think I agree. They're definitely a top three in the East. You can make arguments. I don't believe I would rank them number one. I think I would probably rank them three, and you could probably flip a coin between Indiana and Chicago being number one. The Wizards, in my opinion, took a step back because I know they signed Paul Pierce to come off the bench, but they let my boy Trevor leave and go to Houston. So, I don't know if they can make the type of run they made last year. I mean, that remains to be seen. But like I said, Cleveland, they're top three in the East. I mean, we're talking about Cleveland being top three in the East. Where does Miami rank now? You know, where would you rank Miami?
Exactly.
That's the question, right?
I'd say number six.
They need more players on that team before I can honestly rank them.
Yeah, I think Miami is done. I mean, you think what the this last playoff season exposed, in my opinion, is that the Miami Heat were like the Cleveland Cavaliers were with LeBron before, where no one could do anything without him on the floor. Okay, I mean, I looked specifically at what happened in that short period of time when they were making a run and LeBron gets hurt, and all of a sudden they get beat by 10 or 15 points by San Antonio.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Right.
And with them bringing Chris Bosh back, I thought that was a mistake because they're refusing to realize that they need more pieces. They need to rebuild. So with that said, I think they're done. I would say if they make it to the playoffs, they'll be an 8th seed. As far as Cleveland goes, I would say top four, top five. I mean, I think that Indiana is going to be back. Also was really impressed with what I saw Washington do, and I don't think they're going to let that momentum slide just because I think they're going to be able to handle it. Washington will. I mean, I understand they let the one guy go, but they'll pick up somebody. They'll be fine. The New York Knicks will make it to the playoffs again. I agree. They'll be 7th or 8th again. And I'm not sure. I mean, as much as I'm a Phil Jackson fan, I don't know Derek Fisher, the coach. I question that, but we'll see.
Right.
Cleveland, in the same division as Chicago and Indiana, I'm going to say they're going to probably be 4th. You know, that's just going to be my guess. You know, they're going to be 4th in the East.
Well,
I don't think they're 3rd.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say this. I
I tend to go with the prevailing thought, the Cleveland top three. I think Indiana is going to be the top team in the East next year. I think that his teammates want to start talking about crazy-ass Lance Stephenson this time now. I think the teammates want Stephenson back. Larry Bird loves Lance Stephenson. I mean, loves his kid. So if Larry Bird loves your ass, you're golden. It's just a matter of finding the right price. And Chicago, you think that Derrick Rose will be healthy. You think he'll catch a break, no pun intended, and do his thing. Now, I like the Paul Gasol signing. I like that a lot because it gives him another offensive option. And he's a veteran who loves structure. And one thing I love about Coach Thibodeau in Chicago is that he has structure. That's why Chicago was so competitive without Rose the last two seasons. And which is why, and I'll get to Carmelo Anthony and like him in a short minute, that's why I thought that he should have went to Chicago, because Chicago, to me, even without a healthy Derrick Rose, is more championship-ready than New York is. And also, Cleveland. Of course, Cleveland with the young time with LeBron, they can help but be better. And I really like what Washington is doing. I really like the Wizards. I'll come on and say it. I really like the Wizards. I like the way that they represented the playoffs this past season. The inexperience cost them against the Pacers. But I think bringing in an experienced vet who's not afraid of the big moment, right, and Paul Pierce, I mean, they call him the truth for a reason. I think that he's going to rub off a bit more on Bradley Beal and John Wall and company. And I think that Nene, he's still there. And I think what another underrated free agent resign because he didn't really go anywhere, was Marcin Gortat staying with the Wizards. That was huge.
Mm-hmm.
That was huge. I mean, because I've seen this cat play, he gave the Pacers fits in the playoffs this past season. And I think that year, with all those guys coming back, I mean, mind you, I would have loved them to keep Trezor Ariza as well. I think he's an underrated defender and a great shooter. But having Paul Pierce to go with those boys, I think Washington, I don't think we should sleep on Washington. I'm just saying it right now. And plus, you look at the rest of the East, too. You know, Charlotte's getting better. Atlanta's going to get better now that they have Al Horford back healthy. The East is not going to be as bad as some people think, but I think it's going to be much more competitive and wide open. So speaking of Miami, let's talk about what they've done. I mean, Chris Bosh, max contract, are you fucking kidding me? 5 years, $118 million, are you kidding me?
Scott? I'm going to jump out here. And, of course, my initial reaction was just that. But let me I'm going to be the one to defend this signing here.
All right,
if you look at Chris Bosh from his time when he first came to Miami up until now, people, I guess, tend to forget that championship series that he had against Dallas where he wasn't the leading scorer for the team. But those last couple of games that they lost, he was the best player on that team. Something that you also have to think about is that his shots have diminished since he's been in Miami considerably.
Right.
And I wonder where those shots went. And I wonder why those shots went to him, because that first year that he was playing with D-Wade and LeBron, people were questioning whether or not LeBron wasn't taking enough shots. So now, of course, he takes more shots. Whose shots are going to suffer? With that being said, not only did his field goal attempts suffer, but his three-point attempts increased. Matter of fact, they have tripled since his time from leaving Toronto to this past season.
Mm-hmm.
He was averaging about a half a three-pointer attempt a game while he was in Toronto. He was averaging three threes taken this past season. I don't think this year coming up that he's going to be that Chris Bosh anymore. I think what they're going to do is relegate him to being the old Chris Bosh of Toronto. But once again, that's we need to see who they're going to pick up on the rest of that roster in order to see exactly what style of ball they're going to play. But I'm looking for him to revert back almost to that old Chris Bosh $118 million worth? Doubt it. But I see him being the go-to guy on this team.
Okay.
Okay. I think Scott and I had a conversation this week about this deal Chris bought, you know.
Right, we did.
And honestly, I didn't think the money Houston offered him was, I thought that was too much.
Mm. Yeah, the $88 million over 4 years, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was too much. I was like, Houston's overpaying, overpaying this guy. Bosch is not a max player. Having said that, obviously they think, Riley must think that, you know, he's going to get the old Chris Bosch.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think, you know, he has, you know, he got the deal he wanted, but I don't see these other pieces or Miami having enough of the other pieces in place to really make a run.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope Chris Bosh plays with a ski mask on next year, because he sure did rob Miami.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that is a knee jerk reaction. He's been a serviceable player, and I guess the market, you know, you have to look at what the market is for people men of his position, but I thought that they overpaid him. You know, I mean, I know he was a serviceable player in Toronto. I don't know that he was, you know, top tier. Okay, I really don't. I think this move it looked like a Jerry Jones move where you try to keep a veteran, you know, just to keep your status. I mean, because I think that if he had gone to Houston, then Miami would have been forced to rebuild, and they don't want to do that yet, especially with Wade being at his age. So I think it was a knee-jerk reaction just to try to keep it together. Again, just like it's already been said, who are they going to bring in there? Because, I mean, they signed Napier. He's a rookie, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We'll leave it at that. He's a rookie. So, you know, I don't know how much impact he's going to take. He might be an upgrade over the point guards that they've already had there in Miami. But with the loss of LeBron James, they still don't have a bench. You know, they need to work on getting that bench. That's what hurt them so badly. You signed Chris Bosh to a max deal, and you haven't changed anything else. Nothing else have they changed. All they've done was bring in a point guard that, you know, could start or could come off the bench because he's a rookie. We don't know yet. And, you know, they still got time in free agency to address some of the issues, but they haven't addressed them yet. Too many holes. So
don't forget about Jonathan Robertson and Danny Granger.
Oh, yeah. That scares me. But I heard that Miami's looking at Luol Deng very, very hard, and they're looking to bring back the Dwayne Wade. I mean, what other choice do they have now? So, let's play a game of pretend for a minute. If they're going to get the Dwayne Wade hooked up with something, because the Dwayne Wade is a franchise. The Pirates is very loyal to him. And so what if they do that and land Luol Deng? Now, they could make other moves, but how do you like Miami's chances with a team led by Chris Bosh, Luol Deng, and Dwayne Wade, the menace that he is?
They need a shooter? I mean, well, D-Wade's a shooter, so.
But D-Wade can't play a whole season.
Yeah, for half a season.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Now, I did see something earlier that Luol Deng did agree to a 2-year, $20 million deal.
He did?
Oh,
wow.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you got Bosch, you got Deng, you got D-Wade, you got Shabazz Napier, more of a traditional point guard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you're going to do with Mario Chalmers.
he's not on the roster anymore.
He's done?
I mean, yeah,
well,
he's a free agent, yeah.
He's contract stuff. Okay, he's contract stuff. Okay, okay. All right, all right. So, yeah. So, they have a lot of roster moves to make. I just don't see it. I really don't. I would be surprised if the Heat made the playoffs next year.
Right. I'll say this.
Right.
If they get all the guys that they're talking about getting, which include a Luol Deng, a Sean Marion, don't forget about the Matrix. Ooh, this is about to look like the All-Star team from, like, 2002. But if those two guys, I'm sorry, I couldn't resist, along with D-Wade and probably fill some holes at best,
okay,
I see this team potentially at best a 5 or 6 seed.
So they tried that in Brooklyn, right?
Yeah, they did. Okay. Yeah, they did. They aren't as old. So that's the one thing. And then you have that's the other thing too. Joe Johnson, I'm sorry, he just, in my opinion, buckles under the clutch. But not the clutch, but buckles under key situations. And then of course you don't have Jason Kidd coaching that team.
And let me add this about Miami too. When you have D-Wade, LeBron James, and Chris Bosh, any of us could coach that team, right?
So we're
really going to see what Eric is really made of this year.
Exactly.
He's going to earn his paycheck.
You're really
going to
see it.
If he makes it through the season. I mean, that's a really good point.
That's a really good point.
I mean, with those three guys, you didn't really need to do anything. Now you have to actually be a coach.
Exactly.
Yeah. But you know what?
Exactly.
He has taken that team to playoffs before. But the one thing that I hated to hear was the fact that, oh, my God, Eric Spoelstra, he's one of the best coaches of all times. He's such an ego handler. No. Those dudes were able to police themselves.
Right.
It wasn't a situation where you had a malcontent in any of those three guys, like a LeBron, like a Michael Jordan, or like even a Kobe Bryant, where these guys had such expectations of their teammates that they would do things or say things in order to potentially have them play better. They policed themselves. They did a great job of that. But I'm not saying he's a horrible coach. But he's far from the greatest, but I still think he is good enough to coach a decent team to the playoffs. I just want to see who else they get on this roster. That's what's really going to focus my opinion on them on whether or not they're capable of making the playoffs. Because they got those five players on that roster right now, and I can't call it with just those five guys.
Well, keep in mind, too, as we're talking about the Miami Heat, LeBron James decided to leave, okay? And part of the reason is because he didn't believe they could make the roster moves, okay? So do you think in a million years he would have left if he thought that they had a really good chance of winning the title next year? Probably not. Okay? So so with that being said, if he didn't think the Heat can make the moves, and none of us think the Heat can make the moves, and I've not heard anybody outside of Miami say that he can make the move. I don't think they can make them. I mean, okay, granted they got Luol Deng, but still, you know, does that address their bench or is he a starter? Okay, because if he's a starter, it doesn't address their bench. You know, if Sean Marion comes, that addresses the bench. Who else just came free? Vince Carter just came free. From the Maverick, no, he's in Memphis. Okay,
he's in Memphis.
Okay, tick. So who are they going to get to put on that bench? Because that was their big issue. Okay, that hasn't been answered yet. So yeah, playoff team. Like I said, I give them a seed. I give that to them. You know, but I don't see them doing anything else. And I still think that's a good point about Eric Spoelstra, because I mean, if you have a team that motivates itself, you really don't have to do anything. It's when you have to make something out of nothing. You know, when you have to do what Thibodeau did last year, and you know your team is a playoff team even without their superstar. Or you look at what Rick Carlisle does with the Mavericks. You know, when they really got nothing to work with down here, but yet they're the only team to push the Spurs in the playoffs. Okay,
those are
some coaching. That's coaching right there. You know, I don't know if Spoelstra can do it because he hadn't had to.
Maybe we haven't seen it.
Yeah.
And keep this in mind, guys, that speaking of Rick Carlisle put a clown suit on Eric Spoelstra during the finals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, If you look at that series, that Dallas-Miami series on paper, Dallas had no business winning that series, let alone win, like, you know, I mean, they had no damn business winning that series.
Mm-hmm.
And to see the adjustments that Carlisle made just turned Miami inside out. I mean, he's one of the better coaches in this league. I mean, he really is. So that it wasn't a shock to me to see Dallas push, to see the only team that pushed San Antonio in the CS playoffs.
The only team.
So that's how I
see it. Yeah.
They're the only team that pushed them. They were an ace team.
Yeah,
the ace team, exactly.
Yeah, they were the only team that pushed them. That's Rick Carlisle. That's Rick Carlisle. That's Rick Carlisle. Because if you look at that series on paper, they should have been a sweep.
Mm-hmm.
Rick
I had it this week,
I thought they were going to get swept. And, you know, he just turned – he was one of the few guys who almost turned Greg Popovich inside out. I mean, that's just how good of a coach Riccardi is. He just didn't have the pieces. He didn't have the horses to contain with San Antonio, to run with San Antonio. That's what did it in the end. So one last thing, fellas. We touched on it earlier, Carmelo Anthony to the Knicks. That didn't shock me because I figured he wanted the money and the comfort over winning. And that was just my opinion. I thought that he ended up in Chicago. It would have made Chicago a better team than the Cavaliers, not by LeBron James. I think Joakim Noah is a fucking stud down low. I think he's a damn good defender, rebounder. I think Coach Thibodeau is one of the better coaches in this league. I think that if Derrick Rose was 90% of his old self, I still think that he would have given Anthony some offensive help. Paul Gasol would have given him offensive help from down low. Yeah, I love Taj Gibson. You know, sure, they would have amnestied Carlos Boozer's ass, but, I mean, it's not like anyone would miss him. So, to me, they would have had a better shot at contending than the Knicks will, at least this year and probably next year. So what are your thoughts on Carmelo Anthony going back to New York that quick? So I saw it off with Chris.
I'm going to go ahead and say it's no surprise. I agree with
you. Yeah.
I knew he was going to re-sign with them. I thought this dog and pony show was I'm not really sure why he did it. You know, I agree that he was going to chase the money. You know, I don't like his game necessarily because if you put – he likes the ball too much. You know, I'm not I don't know that he's the greatest defender. So you put him, you know, with Derrick Rose, who's going to want the ball, there's going to be issues there. The other guys on the Bulls, you know, don't need it, but, you know, Derrick Rose needs the ball. He's also a shooter. So I'm okay with him not being in Chicago. I would love to see LeBron James go to Chicago, that's for sure. But I'm okay with Carmelo not being in Chicago. I knew he was going to be in New York. It's going to be interesting to see how he and the coach and what's his name? Why am I drawing a blank? Phil Jackson operate. Because Phil Jackson is good with keeping egos in check and making them work, but he's not going to be the coach. You know, Derek Fisher's the coach. So it's going to be interesting to see how that mixes together, what that mix looks like. But I'm not surprised. You know, he wasn't trying to win. You know, LeBron's move showed that he was trying to win. Carmelo Anthony's move doesn't show he's trying to win. He just wanted some attention. That's my opinion.
That's harsh but true. That's harsh but true. You know, the truth hurts. What say you, Seth?
You know, I don't know. I agree with Chris. He could have gone to quite a few more spots if he was serious about winning. I don't think the Knicks have all the pieces to make a serious run.
Right.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens with Derek Fisher, you know, running the Knicks. But I think the Knicks are will be in the same spot that we're in last year.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
You know,
you're not the only one.
You're not the only one.
Yeah. I feel for you, Scott, because it's like, I mean, other than hire Derek Fisher, you know, of course, you know, bring in Phil Jackson and hire Derek Fisher, I mean, what else have they done this offseason?
Right. And plus, you know, it's a sticky situation that, and I'm going to get to you, Dwayne, in a second, but it's a situation where we're stuck with Amari Stoudemire's contract for one more year, as well as Andre Bargnani for one more year. So that's going to clear some cap space, but there's no guarantee. Because, I mean, I heard the free agent market will be a little bit better, but who's to say that Kevin Love won't be already traded away? Who's to say that they can't get, that they'll be able to get Kevin Durant in 2016? I mean, it's too many variables out there. I mean, so the thing is, granted, there'll be a lot more good players that'll be available next year as free agents. There won't be any scrubs. I'm just saying. I'm just saying, if that makes any sense. I'm just saying that, you know, and I'm not mad at him for wanting the comfort. I'm not mad at him for not leaving $30 million on the table. I'm not mad at him that his wife, Lala, the lovely Lala Anthony, is from New York City, wants to stay in New York City. I get the happy wife, happy life thing. Just don't come back and say, I want to win. Because if you wanted to win, your ass would have run for a special trip from New York City to Chicago. That's just my opinion. And, you know, I'll take it to my grave, but I'm sorry, Dwayne. I'll let you go ahead because I'm about to go ahead. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
That's fine. That is completely all right, man. You know, we all need to depend upon our team from time to time, so I completely understand. Now, to harp back on the 2 points that you guys made, I really thought that he would jump ship for either one to win, which led me to think that he would actually go to Miami, or two, to take more money, which would potentially lead him to Miami because the opportunity was there with LeBron gone, or maybe even go to the Lakers. You know, and then also potentially to go to Chicago to win as well. So for him to stay in New York, it's a combination of the money and I guess potentially trusting Phil Jackson. Now, the one piece that we're not talking about in terms of the coaching staff for New York that may be instrumental in this team making strides is the addition of Kurt Rambis as an assistant coach, another guy that knows Phil Jackson and his system that can actually help out Derek Fisher, especially with his experience as being a head coach.
Right.
It also added D'Alembert and Calderon via trade. Calderon, I think, is a huge improvement. And Raymond Felton, who disappointed me. I really thought Raymond Felton was going to come back home. I really thought he was going to come back home and shine like he did when he's a rookie. But, you know, good wins for them. They get an improvement in Calderon. You actually get you a solid big man in D'Alembert. He is a little bit younger than Chandler, right?
Yeah, he is.
You know, so he's going to be there, a force in the middle. I don't know, you know, if there's going to be much of an offensive drop-off, but defensively he'll be there. And then, of course, I keep pronouncing this dude's name wrong. It's Bargnani, right?
Bargnani, whatever. He's a scrub.
Yes, Bargnani, yes. Wow. You know, it's a possibility he may go back to old Toronto days. He did have a bad year this past year. But you were right, he did disappear. And I'm expecting Tim Hardaway Jr. to step it up just a little bit more. And I think J.R. Smith is on a short leash. You know, if he decides he want to act a fool, I think Phil Jackson will go ahead and get him out of there. But, you know, we'll see what he does in this particular system. But, you know, I said they will probably be an 8 seed. I don't see them being any better than the 8 seed. But,
right.
You know, we'll see. We'll see.
Well,
and I also like Cleo Anthony Early as well as that draft pick.
I was about to say, I love that pick.
Yeah, that was a good move.
Exactly. A team who came into the draft with no picks at all ended up with two picks and ended up with a quality pick. You know, I applaud them on that. So we'll see what it is that they're capable of doing with those guys.
Yeah, I was about to say, I love that Cole Anthony early pick. I saw him ball at Wichita State this past year. He's a stud. The fact that he left in the second round, thank you very much. That's what I have to say about that. The kid's a stud. He dunked on two people at the Summer League, too. So happy about that. And so we'll see, but, yeah, we'll see. I'm a skeptic on this guy. It is what it is, I guess, but we'll see. All right, fellas. Once again, you all did it on short notice. Thanks again. I know this is going to be one hell of an NBA season coming up. I know the East will be wide as open, so it's going to be fun. I know you guys are going to enjoy it too, but thanks a lot, guys. Be good. Enjoy
the
World Cup.
Thank you.
Yeah, you too, man.
All right. All right, peace out.
All right, guys.
All right. All right, those are my guys, as usual, holding it down. So yeah, it's going to be one interesting 2014-2015 NBA season coming up. I mean, LeBron James headed to Cleveland. Who saw that shit coming? I mean, who saw that coming? It's going to be interesting. I mean, it's going to be fun. Indiana, Chicago, Cleveland, one division, NBA, the Eastern Conference, Central Division, it's going to be hot. Also, it's going to be interesting to see what Miami's going to look this year. I know they just signed Rui Hachimura, but in the division where Washington's improving, Charlotte's improving, Atlanta's going to have Orton back healthy. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting. Of course, Toronto's going to be running shout in the Atlantic. But anyway, the East is going to be interesting. And who the hell knows? But anyway, this is Scott Burke signing off with the Clown Hour. I've run out of things to say, obviously. I'm going to turn the World Cup. Take care, 06. Later.